This is a HeadGum Original.
Ooh! Are you trying to get your mug a beat? Are you trying to contour those brow bones? Maybe you're trying to lift those cheeks, mommy. Well, if you're going to do it, you need to do it with a quality product. That's why I am tired of beauty products not meeting my standards. It's time to reshape the beauty world as we know it. Well, wait no longer. Meet Worthy We Cosmetics, the first sustainable luxury beauty brand in the U.S. I love Worthy We because they have amazing cream bronze tours, as they say them, which is sort of like this cream blush that sculpts your skin and also like covers all the imperfections. As a newer drag queen, I need help from a gorgeous product like this because Worthy We Cosmetics are vegan, cruelty-free, and even the packaging is biodegradable. So not only do I get my bronze tour shade like perfectly blended into my mug, I'm able to build like a new beauty routine. It's so easy to use unlike some products that are confusing. These cream blushes are buildable in a way that you can't go wrong. Like they're unbelievable. They're unrivaled. It's become a beauty favorite for me. Truly, the wear and finish is smooth, clean. I know you're going to love them as much as I do, especially if someone like me who's brand new to creams and contourings, if you're as new as I am and you could look as smooth as this skin is looking, you're going to love it. So treat yourself and experience the sustainable luxury beauty brand right now. Treat yourself and experience the sustainable luxury beauty brand. Right now, you can get an exclusive 20%, oh my God, 20% off your first order at Worthy We Cosmetics, spelled WORTHYOUI cosmetics.com, and use promo code DRAGHER. That's Worthy OUI cosmetics.com, and use promo code DRAGHER for 20% off your first order.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Still about to throw some shade, Kiki with the gaze. It's time to drag her. Time to drag her. Drag her.
Oh, fuck. I am on the edge of glory because I am listening. I love edging. I am hosting the one and only RuPaul's Drag Race Recap podcast, available for anyone's enjoyment on the entire internet. I'm Mono Gapian. God damn it. You're so lucky to be here because I'm here today talking about season 16, a really controversial season. We'll see what our guest thinks. We have TV writer, comedian, actor, Judy Chris Schleicher.
Hello, hello, hello. Great to
Chris,
be here. Yeah.
Hi. What the fuck are you doing here?
You know, I am just here for watching drag queens descend into madness, slowly question their own skills, write it down on paper, rip it up and throw it behind them.
Fuck. I can't wait to get to that. Can we talk about something? I fancy you as a smart bitch.
Sort of. I was on Jeopardy and lost.
Right? But you were on Jeopardy. What is, I've really been having a moment this season, and I've decided that I am trying to embrace my status as a postmodern Drag Race fan.
Mm-hmm.
Do you fancy yourself a postmodern Drag Race fan or just a Drag Race fan?
No, I'm getting to postmodern as well. In the situation, like, we have now seen these challenges so many times. Like,
so
this week is
times.
Slightly different, but like,
slightly.
Fully fast forwarding now through any time when like they're doing choreo and learning it and be like, she thinks she's the leader, but this person from behind is doing this. I've seen the same storyline like so many times. So unless you're
it's
doing like
exhausting.
A take on something, Mm-hmm.
They have to just change the show. I don't, or like the challenges have to be completely different. I miss when they used to leave the studio. Remember
oh,
that?
Yeah.
Leave the studio.
Posting about the deranged one where they were all on the sightseeing bus.
Yes.
They're waving at the celebrities on that green screen. Yeah.
The beginning of season five. I remember it well. It's so good. And it's so crazy because there's green screens everywhere. And yet they still get Coco Montrese on a confessional saying, oh, I'm seeing stars everywhere and getting my life. It's like, make her say that?
The confessionals on a certain point are like a hostage video, like proof of life sometimes when they're like, I saw so-and-so like insert flop comedian here and I'm so excited. They're
oh my
on
God.
This new, yeah.
It's some Kate Middleton shit at this point. It's some digitally, it is digitally altered.
Yeah,
Fingers bouncing around sweaters. And I mean, cause you used to be able to wear whatever you wanted. Not anymore.
Nope.
You got to wear the one outfit. Nope. I'm conflicted. I love the show. I will continue to watch it, but I really think it's time for them to just change it. I honestly wouldn't be mad if they said, we're changing the show. It's Big Sister now. RuPaul's Drag Race is Big Sister. It's changed. There's still drag challenges, but we are in a house now because it's just too predictable. And this season, I mean, one spoiler I'll say about this episode, the pairings this season, usually there's in a lot of seasons there's been like pick your partner. The fact that this season there's been like eight challenges where they don't get to pick their partner, to me, very transparent production.
Yeah, I mean, also I think a lot of people like complaints about Plain Jane this season, but like without her, what season are we really having? Like it would truly just be watching them write their lyrics. And
I've been one of the complainers.
Kumbaya.
I've been one of the complainers, but I have to agree. I have to admit that, yes, the season would be nothing without her. And I have to admit that I think she's kind of funny. I spent the first couple episodes being like, she's not funny.
Mm-hmm.
She's kind of funny.
She is. It's just like one of those things you don't have to say everything that pops into your head like every single time. Like you can think that bitch is like horrible, but like you just said that two times in a row.
If no one else is going to produce themselves, at least Plain Jane is producing herself. Like she's literally creating her own character arc because no one else will create a character arc for themselves.
No, I mean, we'll get to it, but like this episode, I'm feeling like, oh, they're giving her a full arc, like
they're
redemption
arc.
We're getting to now towards the end. Like,
I think she could win. I think it would be hilarious if she won at this point. Mm-hmm. Okay, so are you as a whole enjoying this season of Drag Race?
Yeah, I will say like there's lots of strong people. I'm enjoying it, but I do kind of think, no shade to all these beautiful queens. And like, if you're a 13-year-old on the internet, like I'll tell you in advance, like I'm ugly and old or whatever you're going to call me. But I don't know if I'm going to remember a lot of these queens, even though they're great.
Know.
Like, I think like the top three I'm predicting is probably like Saphira, Plain, Nymphia. I'll remember them. Everyone else
I'll remember
probably
going
to flush from my memory almost immediately. And then they'll appear on another season. Like, wait, what's her name again?
Yep, this is going to be
Maya Page. I will never forget. Never ever. I'll say that.
I'll never forget. She's kind of iconic. Even if she comes back and she's just as timid and just as because I've branded her the 14-year-old of Drag Race. I have a conspiracy theory that she's 14 years old and her mom picked her up after Untucked last week. I am fascinated by her because there's never been a queen like this too who hates to be on this show and is deeply unaware of how quiet she is.
Fascinated across all franchises, queens who are like shy and like, what do you like about drag? Just like wearing pretty makeup and like, some of them don't even like lip syncing. Like I'm an addict. I watch like UK and stuff too. And like Gothy Kendall.
Same.
Like, you don't like any part.
Oh
of
my
this.
God. Okay. Thank God you're watching UK. Well, that's what's fucked up about watching UK versus the world right now is I'm like, oh, I enjoyed this week's episode of UK versus the world much more than this. And also UK versus the world gave us a fun final four. Holy shit. Yeah. That final four is fun.
No, I mean, but it's also like an all starsy thing. So they have queens who are ready for the whole thing. And yeah.
T. But yes, Gothy Kendall is similarly absolutely bored to be on the show. She's spent thousands of dollars to be on. it's so weird. So we're back in. Maya's gone. And of course, Morphine has won the Battle of Miami. She won that lip sync. Do you agree?
Yeah. I mean, throwing the cape on her.
Oh, my God.
The second she grabbed it and threw it, I'm like, this is over. That was a jumping over Marsha moment. I'm like, oh, it's all done from here.
Yeah, it was
and
too
like
much.
At a certain point, like backflips, flip flops, Velma Kelly, Chicago level stunts are not going to save you every single time. Like, it wasn't this bad, but it was like giving sometimes like a Thorgy Thor doing a cartwheel during telling you I'm not going. Like, you can't talk your way through everything. And yeah. the extended split was a moment.
It was fucking cool. And I was saying last week, it's been a while since we've seen that sound effect. The sound effect they use when you do something shady in a lip sync, I haven't heard that in a couple seasons. The And that was really funny to be like, oh, wow, she broke a lip sync, an unspoken lip sync rule of you can't just cover a bitch's face when she's bent over backwards. However, I could see if she won the lip sync, them editing the same thing to be like, oh, work.
Yeah,
the way they edited, like you're saying, the way they edited the jump over, Anitra's jump over was, oh, my God, this is the best thing that's ever happened.
This show does assume that we're all like 6 years old and like dumb for a 6 year old. Like, truly, the comedy challenges, they're saying, like, ha ha ha, this one's so funny. Oh no laughs. I'm like, truly, with different editing, the other one would seem super funny and that would seem horrible. Like, yeah.
I am done with that. Like, I really, that's why the show has to change. The show has to evolve a little bit. Survivor evolves. Like, and Survivor's been on the air for 800 years, so maybe this show should evolve too, right?
Immunity idols in the workroom. Actually, this season they do immunity.
They
potion,
did do it, so, yeah. They didn't do it exactly right.
No.
Like, I want some traitors like play where they're like, okay, if you get a queen to put on your lipstick, like, she's immediately in the bottom two next episode.
I will also say, though, like, fans say they want that, but then the second,
I
like,
know.
What was it? All-Stars when, like,
the voting
Pangina
of All-Stars?
Got eliminated,
oh,
or whatever.
Pangina.
Like, people started to play not based on track record, based on like eliminating threats. People hated it immediately. They were like, no, don't
it.
Do that.
That is very interesting. And that you bring up a really good point. I talk about UK versus the world in a rant, but it's, can we just say really quickly, it's really funny that no one wants to be Blue Hydrangea this season.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just like no one wants to have that on their. On their report card.
In a meta way, I think something that ruins the show is like the prize is, it's only like $200,000 still. Like, it is worth more to lose the show and have the fans love you than to win the $200,000. Because if you win it and no one will book you, like, you're not going to make back all you spent on your outfits. It was a $1 million prize, which they could do because they've won the Emmy, like, 10 times now or whatever.
They really could. So, they're keeping their producer bonus. Mm-hmm. Woo! the producers of the show. I don't think people understand how rich the producers of the show are.
Yeah, we're seeing like a Drag Race Liechtenstein next. Like, it is franchised everywhere. Yeah.
It is really crazy. So let's talk about Q being bummed that she didn't win. And the continued story in this episode of being like, I don't think you deserve to win, Safira. What'd you think about? Did she deserve to win? What'd you think about Q's saltiness? What'd you think?
Psycho to say that to someone's face.
Pretty psych.
This was being like, oh, I kind of thought I would win, but to be like, you were undeserved is wild. I do think Q's? When watching it, I thought one of Q or Plain Jane would win, but it wasn't like blown away by it. But also, we only see like kind of segments usually on comedy challenges. We like don't see the whole thing. So,
you know what I wanted? And this is the agitation I wanted. I wanted RuPaul to come into the workroom this week and do the poke thing she does when she's like, why? A little birdie told me you're upset. And I want RuPaul to say to her face, I just thought Safira was more charismatic. Mm-hmm. Are you happy you have your answer now? Now you know why you didn't win. Like, are you happy?
Charisma was the factor that I took
Safira
over the top.
Charisma was it. And that's the problem with Q, and that's why I'm going to say this already. I don't want her in the final four. I don't want to see a lip sync from her. I think she's very talented, but the privilege of it all, which I think they're kind of, if I'm reading this right, they're leading us. They want us to sour on her because don't think she's in the final four.
Absolutely. Beginning of the series, I'm like, okay, Plain Jane's our villain, but like they have like, one's been going up and one's been going down, and they are now signaling that Q is someone we're not supposed to like.
And next week, I think it's a gaggy person up against Q, like Nymphia. I think something like that. It's a gaggy person against Q
And because I know they're shy about Nymphia lip syncing, but I think even Nymphia could beat Q in a lip sync.
Is next week like makeover?
It's makeover. So who's going to shit the bed?
I have a longstanding conspiracy about makeover. That is how they get rid of whoever they want.
Oh, I fully agree. Because 100%. They'll be
like, too much alike, or someone's like, you didn't look enough alike. They can say either side, so it's like they can put anyone in the bottom of that episode. Yeah,
it's like it's actually the emperor's clothes of challenges. It's like, well, yeah, do you look too much like your family? And we hate that. You'd look nothing like your family. They'd compliment each other.
You stole
choose.
The show. She stole the show from you.
Exactly. Like,
anything you can say. Yeah.
Yeah, they're nuts. Yeah, I fully agree that that is the. It's easy for producers to do whatever they want with that.
So they will pick the bottom two they want next week. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm curious. I gotta say, if Morphine wins, which would be funny because she's a makeup artist, and she gets to go in the top four, I want to see Morphine lip sync for the crown. I don't want to see Q lip sync for the crown.
No.
Anyway, let's talk about this episode, I guess.
Yes.
So we're back in. Safira's pissed. And we're doing a mini challenge, which is rubbing your half ugly, half drag mug on a t-shirt to honor Tammy Faye Baker.
Any her legacy.
Thoughts?
Yeah.
Her legacy.
Mini challenges are so funny to me. That people on the show will seriously be like, I have this many mini challenge wins. And it'll be like,
shut up.
Remember, like, mini challenge wins where, like, they had big droopy balls and they were playing mini golf with them? Like,
yes.
I'm like, these are not real challenges, but, like,
these
I think
mean
it's
nothing.
Largely due to the fandom online, like, tracks who's won so many things that they want to, like, I have this many wins under my belt. And that's why they're also obsessed with who got second or third when there's, like, no technical one.
It's embarrassing. The second you start counting is the second I feel like the show punishes you. So I feel like... Right? Because, like, for example, Safira, who, of course, is winning everything, she's, at least in the edit, kept a very low profile. And the show likes it. If you're too into the show you're on, the show always punishes you.
Oh, yeah. I mean, punish people who want things. Jan. Yeah.
Jan, exactly. Punished for trying and doing good. Yeah. Now, I just need to give a shout out to Anastasia Beverly Hills, who looks like she just popped out of the X-Men 97 intro. She looks stunning and like a true superhero.
Yeah, she could be in Rings of Power too. She's fully that white elf hair.
Yes, she's
anything from her.
Like, there's a deleted. This is my pitch. There's a deleted scene in the Eternals where like a ice witch who just finished having sex enters screen. That's her.
Yeah. Yeah, and they ask her to go on the mission. She's like, no, I'm busy. I got things going on. I'm booked.
So whatever, we got some hot, sexy men. And untucked later, we learned that maybe one of these go-go boys, pit crew boys, farted on Plain Jane's face.
Okay.
That's really the only thing that came out of Untucked, which Untucked is also another disaster they need to take back to the roots. Come on.
It used to be essential. Like, everybody essential. Got, like, I must or I'm missing... part of the story. I mean, you're only getting half the story. Now it's kind of like, oh, you're a real addict. Like, you need to sniff the bottom of the popper's bottle. Like, watch this, freak.
You're so right. It's embarrassing to watch Untucked now. And they've done this to us. Like, literally now when someone's like, ugh, you watched Untucked? Like, you mean you didn't talk to your friends after, like, at the bar instead and connect with people? You watched Untucked?
And I feel like foreign seasons still do the thing of like kind of editing in that content into the regular show, which is kind of, there's only that much stuff in Untucked to do, but.
I know they need to either get rid of it or make it crazier or edit it into the show because there's so much we
I
don't.
Miss the fluffy pink box, the like little lounge, the like really manipulative videos from home.
Yeah.
You haven't seen your grandmother in 20 years and now she's saying she's proud of you. Like it was
I do miss the manipulation. I don't know how we get them to be meaner in the social media era too. I wonder, okay, honestly, this is my crazy pitch. What if Untucked was more of a game show and they were like, today the game is say the shadiest shit, then the winner will get 10K or something like that.
Gamifying it is a great idea, giving them prompts. I mean, not that they're not prompted during the show.
Yeah.
But we need to up the ante or cut. But they'll never cut it because I think it wins Emmys.
Untucked does?
It's like the bottom of the barrel category is like unscripted after drag show that like under 30 minutes. Like,
Fascinating. So look, the challenge this week is bathroom hunties. Let's, before we get talk about the bathrooms themselves, let's briefly talk about the design montage, which is now another trope. Now that we've had the design your own hotel, a design your own club, we now have the queens being forced to sort of start painting their own spaces.
I mean, it's the drag of pretending to do work. Like, they're not making these. We have to see them pretend to paint for a second.
Exactly.
Then the production team, the Bobby Burks, will come in and make the actual thing happen.
And the shame is, if I was one of these queens, I would literally say, I'm not doing this because this is a writing and performance challenge.
Yeah.
I don't have time to do this fucking bullshit. I actually need to write and perform this shit with my partner. So why are you making me do this when it doesn't, the look of does not matter.
One of the great skills a drag queen needs is applying a clean coat of paint to a wall, as we all know. I guess it gives them like some interaction, but like when they were like playing and like, oh, I'm painting your side. Ha ha ha. I was like, this is my usual fast forward moment, but I did watch this one.
It was hell. It was a little hellish. And also, I'm not talking about the hell bathroom.
As a concept for an episode, I am like, sure, everything can't be design, acting, whatever. But like, I guess we got Club 96 out of this type of challenge before, which, lest we forget, was a losing room, right?
Isn't that funny? Yeah, that was the losing room.
And it's the only room that anyone can remember.
100%. Yeah, it's a pretty crazy thing that this, yeah, for some reason, every time they do this, it wasn't the worst, but yeah, there was no real laughs. Okay, what I want to say is before we get into it is Plain Jane does get marks for making a painting joke. I have to give her props for sneaking a painting joke on Drag Race. But yeah, the fact that they're like letting any of them get derailed by the aesthetic is so rude. It's so rude. Just let them write the fucking challenge, please.
Yeah, I mean, we need stuff to put on the screen for people to look at. I get it. Just like, let's get through it. Let's get through it faster.
Or gamify it and be like, okay, actually, each of you gets 10 seconds to fuck something else up in the other person's room.
Yeah.
And then they have to deal with it.
Or there wasn't really like a workroomy type moment of like Michelle going through and being skeptical of their rooms or something and getting them in their heads about it. Like, that's always fun. We just truly, they had their ideas and went straight through.
Okay, we're going to get...
The poor props people had to go now find a ton of like spikes for bathroom seats and whatever.
That was... Let's talk about this because it was actually a great idea, but it didn't. Yeah. Let's talk about this. But first, silence, Chris. I feel like taking a break. This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. Are you seeing some triggering ads on social media? Stuff about summer bodies, stuff about the diet cleanse, stuff about trimming down. Fuck that noise. That stuff is triggering for me, and I assume it's triggering for someone else listening. That's why I use BetterHelp. BetterHelp allows me to get in touch with a licensed professional therapist who can help me recharge, who can help me decrap my brain. Because those negative images and slogans can really creep in and give me negative body talk. You know what I mean? Any form of negative self-talk that is traumatic for me. And thankfully, I'm using these tools and being honest about them and articulating them in a way that takes the power away from them. If you're thinking about therapy, you should give BetterHelp a try because it's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you do is fill out a brief questionnaire. You get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can even switch therapists anytime at no additional charge. That's how I found my personal therapist. I found my sweet spot with BetterHelp. So go Visit BetterHelp.com/dragher today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/dragher. Go find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Yum, 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 yum. I like to eat food, but you know, it's hard. Let's be real. Food is confusing and it happens 3 times a day. You want me to cook 3? I'm offended. I'm aghast. I'm agog. The gall, the gumption, the nerve, the audacity, and the cheek, all of it. I don't like it. But now I'm calm because I use Factor Meals. Factor Meals are available in just 2 minutes. They come right to my door and they have really popular options like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, Vegan, Veggie. You can get any kind of delicious meal delivered to your door. I love them. I've been using them for over a year, way before I started talking about them on the podcast. They help me feel full, satiated. There's no mess. It comes never frozen. It's always fresh. It's my favorite meal solution. I've said it a million times. I come home after a night of hanging or dancing and I eat a Factor meal. Like, to me, that's the ultimate endorsement. These meals are so yummy that I'm able to kick a craving for a much naughtier meal and come home and eat something I know will be good for my body. So head to factormeals.com/dragher50 and use code dragher50 to get 50% off your first month. Plus 20% off your next month. That's a lot of money. That's code DRAGHER50 at factormeals.com. Go get into it. Factormeals.com/DRAGHER50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. Break. We're back. We're going to talk about the challenge. Let's talk about the one of the actual substantiating parts of this episode was the bathroom conversation. This is a good conversation to have. I liked hearing Morphine's unfortunate dilemma of how shitty binary bathrooms are and how uncomfortable it is being an NB person, being like, I'm going to have a shitty time going in either of these bathrooms because of how I present.
Oh, yeah. I mean, definitely important conversation. When you said Morphine's shitty situation, I thought you meant that Morphine says she shits 5 times a day, first, which is wild. Like, see a doctor, please.
5 is a lot.
Yeah.
I would say after I drink and have Taco Bell, I would probably shit 3 times, but that's like after I've been through it.
And then you'd be like, whoa, big day for me. If your average is 5, some days must be 7. Like,
yes. Please, listeners, sound off. How many times are you shitting a day? Leave us a 5-star review saying how many times you shit in a day and I'll read it on the air.
But yeah, it's gotta be stressful. Like, in full drag, like, what bathroom do you want me to go in? I'm gonna freak people out no matter where I go. It was a good bathroom conversation, or good in the mirrors conversation versus
it
like,
was.
I live for when like the producers clearly got in someone's ear and they'll be putting makeup on, like, so did anyone's uncle die in a helicopter accident? I'm like, actually, yeah.
That is so funny when they're so goddamn specific.
Yeah.
So and then we go. Just out of curiosity, did anyone's grandmother force them to tap dance on a national television show and it created a lifelong performance anxiety issue? I did. Really?
Yeah. You must know in that moment you're freaking out, like, oh, they're maybe giving me the I go home this weekend because I have to tell my story.
There are a lot of mind games that, like, now that we're postmodern, there's a lot of mind games that these queens have to just like perform through. It's very Hunger Games, honestly, that they don't know what the producers are doing. They have to do the challenge while also maintaining whatever anxiety is popping up in their head of like, what's happening? What's happening that I don't see is happening? It's weird.
Yeah, like, would I withhold my horrible tap dancing on national television story knowing like they can't edit me out if I don't have a thing to give them?
Right. Do they know that I'm the person who drove the helicopter, which is why I feel incredibly guilt-ridden? Maybe that's more of a episode 13 revelation. Mm-hmm. But I really did like Morphine because, I mean, Morphine is such a like a sex presenting person that I like that if anyone slightly ignorant is watching, it humanizes Morphine and reminds us that she is just a goofy, fun person who shits her pants sometimes.
She's been one of my favorites this season. Like, great narrator.
Great, she's great.
Yeah.
She's great. She's fun. She feels real. She feels cunty. I would rather her be in the top four over, certainly over Q.
Oh, yeah. I feel like there's always one that gets there on the charisma of this, of the uniqueness, nerve, and talent rubric. And I think she's maybe our charisma queen this year.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I guess we'll talk about these runways, because the way this episode's ordered is runway, then bathroom. So let's chirp and burp these runway looks. Mm-hmm. What do you say?
Yeah.
RuPaul, I like what you're wearing. Do you care about my approval? Certainly not.
Looking like a flaming hot Cheeto. Yeah,
I liked that color palette. Yeah, it was kind of like a burnt. It was like, yeah, it was a burnt Cheeto. I liked it.
Also, we were fascinated all episode by like that metal thing is just like glued to her.
It's totally glued to her. It's glued.
Yeah.
I liked it.
Trend alert. Yeah.
Trend alert. Glue that shit right on you. Okay, so category is chain reaction. Let's talk about Morphine Love Dion. Giving headpiece, giving gold, giving, really giving the lip sync before the lip sync even happens. What'd you think?
I really like it. It seems a tiny bit busy to me. With her short little neck, I was like, is it giving her no neck monster a little bit? But other than that, I think it's like up and down.
I forgot to tell you that on this podcast, if we like it, we chirp it. And
if we don't
like it, we burp it, since we're the only podcast doing this.
This is a full chirp for me. Like, minor quibbles aside, I think she's using the chains as the hair was really clever. And
I agree. I mean, it's not groundbreaking, but she looks so good in it. And sometimes chains as hair I don't love, but the look really feels complete. It feels cohesive and complete. And God, it looks good when she's lip syncing later. So I got to chirp it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Q.
Yeah.
Yikes. I really hated this.
The wig alone was like really making me feel like uneasy in a way. I'm like, did I see a woman wearing this once and she like scarred me? Like,
she really did look like an unfit orphanage owner, you know?
Ooh,
like,
yeah,
like the haircut gave I'm an unkempt woman in the United Kingdom who pretends to smile at children but secretly, you know, throws porridge on them. I hated it.
Cut character from Les Mis.
I hate
this. It's just not flattering.
The color palette is disgusting. It's okay. Here's why: giving a new silhouette every week can be to your detriment. And I think she was so obsessed with doing a new silhouette that she gave us this, and I hate it.
Yeah, I'm so sorry. And the chains were giving like plastic because of the red of it all, so it didn't really feel chainy to me. That's a burp.
Bad colors. She looks like an animatronic from Chuck E. Cheese. Black and red. Ugly, ugly, ugly. She should have been in the bottom two. Burp. I'm so sorry, but burp.
Yeah, full burp.
So sorry. Coming up next, we have Dawn. Oh, no. I didn't like this either.
It did feel like the chains were like an afterthought. Like, she had this like basic boring thing with the cutouts that like, for some reason, the way she's walking, they look uneven sometimes. And once again, the hair made me feel like ill. Like the party in back, like the poodle in back of it all.
Yeah, I didn't like it at all. I think it was just like the black was also so washed out. It just washes her out because it's like a velvety material and it's black. So she just looks like a blur. She looks like a smudge.
Yeah, I'm always like, you got to see how that reads on TV. And unless like something like that is stoned to the gods, it's going to just totally become a flat surface.
I don't like it one bit. I'm so sorry. And I usually love everything Dawn does, but the
cutouts. It's like one of the least fanciful things she's ever done. Like,
I know. It's such a cold color palette. It's just like black and the silver. And like, the chains could be cool, but they actually are just blocking her face.
Yeah. Once again, like sometimes versatility is a good thing. She should have been another woodland creature, like chained up by a wizard or something. Like
totally, Chris, 100%. I would, or maybe the headpiece needed to be more headpiece, because the fact that it's just a headband.
Yeah, just, is that from like American Apparel? Stone it.
Something. Yeah, I agree. I would much rather have seen her as a drowning river weasel in a Tolkien style novel, but she just gave us lady.
A black garment with some chains thrown on it.
I'm going to have to burp it, Dawn. I'm so sorry.
Also burp.
Nymphia. Well, this is fucking perfect. Thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I was like, oh no, a corset, because they usually drag someone for it. But mm-hmm. then the details and the chains are specific, rather than seeming like you just went to Home Depot and got the first chains you saw. The whip of it all, the styling, like it's
Jesus
on the runway. And I'm going to be inconsistent. I like someone switching up. It isn't yellow. There's no bananas.
Oh, I love that. It's so different. And she just looks like she looks like she's from the set of WAP. Like, she looks hot and sexy and fierce. And I'm so happy to see this different side of her drag.
Mm-hmm. So you can do a corset if we like you.
If we like you, I do think the details are next level. Yeah, the way that they do complement, you know, the pairing of blues and teals. And God, the hair is gorgeous. And God, the mug is gorgeous. And the whip is fun.
Yeah, I was like scared. was like, does she have training in that? Yeah.
It's a chirp. God, I wish she was more enthused. I wish she was. I'm done with her shy, nervous edit. I am getting really bored of that. I'm pretty scared she's not going to win this season.
Yeah, I feel like we might be due for like a real shock right before the final, where they cut someone and the fans lose their minds.
If Nymphia goes home,
that would be the type of thing that would make everyone, the internet, freak out.
The internet would shit their pants. But again, maybe that would make this season a little more memorable.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. This is a chirp for sure.
Mm-hmm. Chirp.
Plain Jane giving robot. What do you think?
I'm kind of medium on this one. I feel
very
like I've
medium.
Seen this look before.
They said that to her. They're like, we've seen you do this.
But even from like other queens on, like, I don't know, when I was watching like Drag Race, like Belgium in like a haze. but the neon green is what makes it pop in a way. I was like, okay, that's a good detail.
Mm-hmm.
I was neither wowed nor upset by her. I'm like, okay, you filled the brief.
The hair is gorgeous.
She always looks like a sex goddess in a way that I'm like, yeah, absolutely. But I just don't know if it's the most mind-blowing design choice. But
it looks good, but I will burp it. Just to be difficult, I'm going to burp it.
A mild chirp, the softest chirp of a woodland a bird. Yeah.
Yeah. Next, Safira. I mean, scaring us, giving us pup, giving us fire hydrant. What'd you think?
I love it. So different for her. I do have an issue with everyone calling this a dog. This is clearly a bunny. Like, dogs do not have ears like that, even though in like the fetish thing of the dog. Looks like Donnie Darko did poppers. Like,
yeah.
Fully.
It and is like, kind of like you know when like a Disney dog is not really a dog? Like the way Goofy and Pluto, or certainly Goofy is like, is that a dog?
Well, I mean, famously Goofy and Pluto are both dogs. And when you think about it, it's like, wait, is Pluto a slave?
You
can't think about it for too long.
You can't, it gets scary.
Or it's like Oswald the Rabbit from like Disney, like old timey.
So Oswald. It's really that. Yeah, you're right. It is scary, but it is gorgeous. And it looks like an art piece. Looks like something I would pretend to look at for 60 seconds in an art museum and you know, pretend to understand. It's really, I got to say, it is the level of grotesque and beautiful that deserves a chirp.
Yeah. Chirp for me, thought outside the box. And I was a little frightened, which you should always feel around drag.
Absolutely. I always long to feel like a Republican senator when I watch a drag show. Scared, confused, and ready to pass harmful legislation.
Yeah.
Okay, let's watch some of these bathroom hunty moments. Okay, hold the fucking phone. Hold the fucking phone. Bathroom hunties hosted by Dee Dee and Dada, two German hosts. Chris. Yeah.
Chris. I was immediately worried. I said to the people I was watching, like, oh, they surely won't do accents, will they? And of course, I was like, why would I even ask that? Of course they're going to. I, when I was in London, paid top dollar to see Michelle Visage in her final performance of Everybody's Talking About Jamie, where she does a Northern English accent the whole time.
Oh, no.
So I knew we were in for a bad time.
She didn't do an accent the whole time.
Sometimes right? It was like French or Russian. I mean, I should like find it funny, but it was. I mean, guess they're German for like. Oh, lost my AirPod.
Lost an AirPod.
Yeah, well, so upset about the about
every,
the
with every right. With every right.
I thought they were going to be German to do some sort of scatological thing of like German people have weird fetishes for scat or whatever, but they didn't go there at all. They were just German for no reason.
Yeah. Yeah. I maybe they tried to, and then I don't know. What a weird time. Presented by Lush. Thank God. Let's talk about this. Yeah, I agree. I don't know what they were thinking. I find Carson Kressley actually generally delightful. Yeah. But I just didn't get why Michelle didn't seem to do it, why he was doing it. I didn't get it. So let's talk about the Hell Room. Okay, here's the problem with the Hell Room. These jokes and ideas are actually well written to me. Like, it's like anyone who was having a more charisma or fun doing it could have sold the shit out of this.
I was like, their concept is so clear.
yeah.
Everything was like, oh, you can't reach the toilet paper. I'm like, good joke. The hands great that joke. Drop things, good joke. I think
the spike toilet is funny. Spike toilet's funny. Shattered mirror. What's their flaw?
Their flaw is, why are they Valley Girls?
Yeah, why are they Valley Girls?
That is, I think Michelle pointed out, like, that's like a very basic choice of character to make, like, anytime, but like, it doesn't make sense here. Were they Satan's daughters or something? Like, it just was like a hat on a hat. Like, it didn't add anything. It was actually confusing.
It was very confusing. It would have been so much better if they were goth or Wednesday-ish or literally just copy Benda LaCreme's goth character. Just copy her.
Yeah.
She's a genius. So just copy. The judges won't know. They don't give a shit. They don't care if they've seen something 18 times. They'll love it.
And they went halfway to a catchphrase of being, we're in hell. But like, sometimes that makes Rue laugh so hard to like repeat the same stupid thing over and over again. But
yeah.
As we saw with Club 96, that was a losing one, even though it was so funny.
I have something mean to say, so I can't wait to say it. But it was that thing of like, Q is the leader of this.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Now, something, I think Q is very talented, amazing person, but there's something about it that felt paint by numbers and not exciting.
Yeah. I don't know that Q is very naturally funny.
No.
Was executing all of these concepts, but yeah, did not feel light on her feet. But like, I got so mad at fucking Morphine, like being like, oh, what is it? I can't, like, didn't you learn in like high school drama class, just like power through your mistake, say whatever is on your mind, like admitting that you did something wrong, like Rue will rip your throat out.
And just have an out. Anytime you forget your line, just be like, hold on, one second. Satan's talking to me.
Yeah.
Dame, dominus. Like, you should just have something in your back pocket for when you get nervous.
I do. I mean, I frequently watch this show with my friends. And I'm like, we could have done a funnier thing in 2 seconds. I'm like, we are professional comedy writers and actors. Maybe it is not a good right. barometer.
I've said it before, I'll say it again. What's so cruel about this show is you have to be the best stage. You have to be the best stage performing drag queen. Usually you that's what you have to do to get on the show. Mm. Then once you're on the show, they're like, guess what? You're a sketch writer.
Yeah.
It's like so weird. Why do they make you do one thing to get on the show? And then they're like, surprise, you're figuring out sketches for us. What?
A seamstress using only like a corrugated metal, like suddenly.
Yeah.
But
so
yeah, I
weird.
Mean,
so was, weird.
I didn't dislike, and we got this pit crew with it. That bulge was wild on the pit crew guy.
Yeah, I think it was one of those like bulge, you know what I mean? Those push forward bulge things.
Yeah. Oh, those like with the inside the underwear thing.
Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah. I mean, because look, y'all, we're cock hungry. I've eaten enough cock to know that no cock is shaped like a magic eight ball.
Yeah. What? Wearing a very tight pant, that's going to compress it.
Exactly. Let's talk about this, Chris. Let's just slow down and talk about this. Can we as gay men, like, appreciate the way a cock actually looks in a Speedo without forcing men to have to shoot forward their cock or like use one of those go-go boy cup things or like, yeah. When is it going to be enough?
It will never. I will admit to, I have in an unflattering Speedo put on a cock ring to make it look better.
Okay. That's fine. That's I appreciate that. Okay. Cock ring's different. Okay, great.
Yeah. Yeah.
I agree. Sometimes a Speedo can smash your stuff and it cannot look great.
Yeah. But yeah, we don't need whole brands of underwear designed to like, it's not going to look tumescent in a Speedo. It's just not.
Come on, SATs. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, he's gorgeous and hot and sexy, and I'm sure his cock is delicious. Yeah. Maybe it's an MTV practices thing.
They're but like, maybe we should hear about him and his life. That was my favorite take recently on Twitter. I'm like, why don't the pit crew speak?
I know. I think there's a better way to use it. Wait, he's a demon who's being tortured. That was, yeah. Okay, I'm sorry, but there's a logic issue. There's a logic hole there.
Yeah.
Whatever. Okay, we're going to talk about the next bathroom. But first, silence, Chris. I feel like taking another break. Life doesn't happen bi-weekly, diva. So why should payday? Yes, I'm a robotic bitch. And the one thing that makes this robot go cuckoo-cachoo is money. Not tomorrow. Today. And guess who helps with that? Earnin. That's right. Earnin will put the money in your hands today. You can get $100 per day or 750 buckarooskies per pay period. All you have to do is download the Earnin app, verify your paycheck. You get access to $100 a day as you work. And you can do it from absolutely anywhere in the darn world. That's why I love Earnin. It makes money easy because, you know, sometimes your employers act a fool, okay? Yeah, it's like they're in the Untucked Lounge and they're acting a fool girl. So whether it's for a special night out, you want to treat your loved one, an unexpected bill from the vet, yikes, or rent, bitch, you can use Earnin to your advantage. Make it a part of your financial routine. Join the over 3.5 million customers who say, when I think about Earnin, I think about financial stability and security. Plus, peace of mind. Download Earnin today, spelled E-A-R-N-I-N in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the Earnin app, type in Drag Her Under Podcast. When you sign up, it'll really help the show. That's Drag Her Under Podcast. Subject to your available earnings, location, daily max, pay period max. See earnin.com/TOS for details. Earnin is a financial technology company, not a bank. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
This HeadGum podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt. Mm-hmm. So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
Bring back my break! One thing I did want to say before we move on is that, you know, and when I was watching the hell bathroom, they did they achieved their goal because I felt like I was in hell watching them. So
yeah.
On the one hand, they maybe should have leaned into how bad it was and been like, that was the point.
Yeah, we were making you feel like you were in hell the entire time.
Let's talk about the art museum. What are your thoughts, Chris?
Oh, it's a big sigh for me.
Yeah.
It's like a concept of like making fun of modern art that's from like 1990 or something. Like,
yeah.
Nothing about this like screams like anything that's in like contemporary art today. Why does it look like a doctor's office?
Yeah.
Like, it does not look like a modern art museum. I've never seen like a green wall like that.
And this was worse than the hell one.
Yes.
It didn't have jokes really at all.
The only joke was that it's a museum of fine art and F art makes fart. Why are the
huh?
You have to rub the nipples to make the faucet go. Like there's a ready-made joke. The famous art pieces that are just urinals, like in museums, and like you'd be like, oh no, don't go in that. That's a piece of art.
Yes, yes. Or like the fire extinguisher, right?
Yeah.
Oh wow,
yeah.
This one's gorgeous. It's a fire extinguisher. Yeah. Yeah, there's definitely some jokes here. I'm trying to decide, like, if it's a fart museum, should they have gone dirtier? Or I'm trying to figure out the angle on this, because they weren't really dirty. They were artsy.
She has, like, giant globe tits that they never really refer to. Like, why is...
Yeah.
And, like, finger painting is not fine art.
And, like, is the joke... Oh, boy. Is the joke, like... Is there a better joke in, like... Because honestly, maybe it should have been a nasty, disgusting, rotted bathroom, like the eagle bathroom.
Yeah.
And then being like, this is a museum. Like, oh, it kind of just looks like an ugly, shitty, disgusting. No. This is an art piece.
I mean, I thought we were going to go like Museum of Gay Culture. And we're like, here that, is the glory hole
too.
And like the Walt Whitman once stuck his dick through here. Like that could be a version.
I
would go with like your, it looks so regular and like you keep trying to use things like that's not a soap dispenser. That's like a installation. Like
better.
Everything is just a piece of art. And you're like, where do I like pee? You're like nowhere. Like, yeah.
All of these are better. Cause this was a weird, it was sterile. It was just like the sterile art thing. And then we weren't sure where the jokes were coming from. And then the art pieces were art pieces where, again, even the art pieces should have been like a shitty piece of toilet paper and being like, oh, it looks like a piece of toilet paper with children. Oh, it's actually actually costs $75,000.
That is what you going to say on that piece of toilet paper. Yeah.
Sorry, what were you going to say? Okay. Anything else to say about the art?
They were correct. Like Nymphia's just like won't shut up. Like. Talking.
I have to say it now because Nymphia, they were like, Nymphia, you wouldn't stop talking. You weren't saying funny things. You steamrolled. Don, you're in the bottom. What? Yeah.
Well, because, okay, Rue is like a victim blamer. So she was like.
Absolutely.
No, you shouldn't have allowed that to happen to you.
Absolutely.
I think it's her mindset.
That's so funny though, but not always true because like when Milk steamrolled in All-Stars 3, she was punished for it by being safe, which devastated her.
Rue also says something like absolutely insane during the critiques, which is like silence is where the jokes are. I was like, no, like leaving silence allows the other jokes to hit, but like they are not in the silence.
They're not in the silence. I noticed that too. Let's talk about the booty lickers. Of course, we have, again, this group is unfair because we know even before even when they pair them, I'm like, oh, this group is either the winner or certainly safe because Safira and Plain Jane both have strong ideas. This was, the producers knew what they wanted. They didn't they knew they wanted someone from the other teams gone. They weren't exactly sure who, but they knew they wanted someone gone.
Yes.
Just not these two.
No, they're fully sailing into the final. At first I was like, they need to move on from like, there's booze hidden here and there's booze hidden here. Like, okay, we need another joke, darling.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought they were going to do more things about, like, it's the 1920s. And, like, I mean, there's horrible racism everywhere. Like, anytime there's a past thing, but yeah.
A past thing. I would say Safira, who is very funny, does get away with murder because a lot of times there's just these improv moments where she's truly no anding, where she's like, yeah, she's like, no, but she's funny enough to sell it.
Like, and why is the speakeasy opera? That was another thing.
That didn't make any sense. But again, a good simple joke of plain Jane holding a triangle and punctuating the opera singing. I was like, yeah, that's, again, in this world, funny enough. It's funny enough.
Triangle always works for me. It is always funny to me when someone just plays like one triangle note at the end. Like, I am,
you're embarrassed that you laugh.
Like, it's like from like Animaniacs level. Something in my brain loves that.
I am with you. I'm embarrassed that fake animal paws make me laugh every time. Like, at the Oscars, they had that famous dog clapping with clapping with fake paws. Every time to me, it like shakes me to my core laughing.
Yeah. Yeah, we're ill in our brain. That's why we're doing a Drag Race podcast right now.
I know. We're really basic. I will say the only joke punch-up I had was I couldn't believe there wasn't a booty licker. Is this the booty licker's home? I couldn't believe there wasn't a booty lick him. No. Booty, like, I couldn't believe there was a booty lick him joke. Just, it's just waiting there for you.
Yeah, I mean, I guess they got to scat, which was funny. This one, the bathroom was a real afterthought. Like, I forgot it was like that was fully part of it for a while.
Which maybe it was just like the right move.
Yeah. Yeah. Because there's only so much you're going to get out of potty humor.
Yes. And I was certain that Safira was going to say, like, when they were like, oh, yeah, be careful of your eyes. I was certain Safira was going to say, yeah, how'd you think I got these two black eyes? Because, I mean, she has the smoky eye. It's a free joke.
Once again, we are judging them.
We're being
sketch
really
writers. They were thrown into a horrible situation where they were in like had to Home Depot a room, and then terrorized by Michelle Visage and Carson, sometimes being German and sometimes not.
You're 100% right and fair for saying that. So, any other crazy things you want to talk about in the deliberation that that piqued your gay bones?
I mean, there was Rue saying the comedy is found in the silence, which is gonna haunt me for a while.
Like
anything was. Oh, there was the thing of like, Dawn, can we see your face? I think they're too obsessed with seeing their faces. I'm like,
that is always a story, isn't it?
You're wearing a beautiful hat that covers half your face. Like, we couldn't see all of your face. It's like, yeah, well, that was the design.
That was the design. And I agree that maybe during a lip sync, certainly during this lip sync, she should have ripped that shit off way sooner.
I could not believe Dawn does that as like a reveal in like the final 5 seconds. But I mean, we'll get to it. There was no hope there from moment one. There was no hope.
Oh, boy. There is a few times, and actually there's more than a few times, but there's sometimes when you are forced to witness a Faces of Death style execution on the Drag Race main stage, a murder so vicious that you at home scream, stop it. She's already dead.
Like the murder rule in like sports where like after you've up so much, just like you have to stop it.
Truly like a UFC match where it's like their face is a bloody pulp. Get off. So there's some
interesting. I will say something just structurally about Drag Race I think needs to be fixed. And maybe this is where Untucked comes in. Why do they critique them on the stage? They go off and then repeat their critiques.
Dude.
It's like, it'd be one thing if like they were more honest when it's just us squirrel friends, but like they aren't. They're like saying the same thing again.
It's so redundant. It's bad.
Yeah. It's like from the original DNA of the show and they like haven't thought what to do with it.
If I had to guess, I think it's kind of a weird way to them to be like, this is still our show. Cause in a way, if we don't have it, RuPaul's in the episode for 7 minutes.
I mean, Rue probably wishes she was in it for three, but
yeah, 100%.
She's already bailed on Down Under, which who can blame her?
Oh my God. Can you believe how much Down Under was already a disaster, but I'm really not going to watch that. Opinions.
I think it's giving me permission to say, after the first season, I was like, woof, can't go back. And then all those little friends who are like, actually, I've heard it's a good season. Actually, season two is really good. So I did.
I watched two and three. Under.
Yeah.
I thought three was interesting as a season. It was like chaotic enough to be interesting. Whereas
they
two
actually
was
were
not.
Better. I was not lied to. But I yes. think this is going to give me permission to maybe let that one go. Because I would defend it and be like, well, Rue does it. So it's like a real season. But no.
Isn't that funny? Yeah. It doesn't feel like a real season anymore. I don't want to. I think Michelle Visage is a very wonderful, interesting human. But I don't want Drag Race to be led by a non-drag queen.
Yeah. I need new hobbies other than watching like Drag Race Italia.
Same. I can't believe also that this week has been insane too, because there's been like apparently two other queens crowned, like Belgium crowned someone and España All-Stars. And I'm like, this is just too crazy. And I feel bad for the queens who compete because is anyone know? I don't think anyone knows.
I did watch España All-Stars because of my sickness.
Was it fierce?
It was quite good, and like, it was All-Stars after only three seasons, and
that's
the Spanish girls are always, there's always someone who like walks off the show because they can't handle it. Someone's like crying about like the previous past they had with this person and them healing it now. It's they make good television there.
They give drama. I heard there's drama. I'm going to watch it. I'm going to have to watch it. I just couldn't not during. Yeah, there's a lot going on.
And the judging panel, young.
Young, interesting.
Which I think is an interesting, they could shake it up here.
Interesting.
I love our Michelle and our Rue and the hilarious Ross Matthews, but like if someone was like more with it or in the scene right now that could like speak to that,
that'd be amazing.
Help.
That'd be fucking cool.
Yeah.
So tell me what you think about the winners being Plain Jane and Safira, double winning. Safira's got her fourth win, Plain's got her third win. Thoughts?
It's kind of like winner by default because I think the other two just like weren't that good. I think clearly Fart Museum is the worst one.
It but is.
Hell, great concept because of the acting and delivery of it. Yeah. And then Plain and Safira were clearly having a good time. They hit all their marks. I'm never going to be blown away by a drag queen's bathroom, but like, yeah, that was the best of the three.
Yeah, God. Arguably, they did a weird thing by letting Safira win last week because I think she clearly won this week.
Mm-hmm.
And then last week was kind of like a whatever, let Safira win. And now we're in a weird, it's just weird. I'm sure they were like, we're in a weird position because the other teams did not win.
They're usually so good at like splitting, like, oh, this person's won too much. Let's let them have a stumble. This because
usually.
I feel like there's some episodes this season where like Nymphia clearly should have won but didn't because she just and like
yes,
but with Safira like I don't know, she can win every week.
It's interesting. I think they've confused themselves and now instead of punishing a whole team, they've split them up. They've done the classic thing, and I also have a conspiracy theory that they were like, we really want Morphine to do this lip sync because no one's going to do as good at this lip sync other than Morphine.
Yeah, I mean, they know what they're doing. Like, there's the famous, like, when Jinx lip-synced that time, and it was the song that she's, like, an expert at doing. Have you heard the story?
Oh, yeah. Familiar with that. There's a couple of those times. But, yeah, this was fully that of, like, can you imagine the bloodbath of, I mean, even more of a bloodbath if it was Q v Morphine?
Oh, yeah. I think they decided who they wanted to go home.
Yeah.
They did not want Nymphia to go home. So it was like we have to decide between Q and Dawn. I think they decided they had to split it up between the two so they could have Morphine send one of those two home with this song.
I know. I'm curious. I would like to see Nymphia lip sync. Is she so awful that we can't even see? I don't think she would be bad.
Yeah, that is the annoying thing about like, I do like All-Stars seasons, All-Stars rules, because you see the best people lip sync. Like,
right.
And then it's hidden from you on a regular season, except for like the voting episode where the top people lip sync.
Oh my God.
To promote voting.
I'm tired because it was so they all did such a good job. It was such an iconic episode that no one can go home. Oh, I'm upset.
If someone went home, I would have not registered to vote. So, yeah.
So Nymphia's safe again. Okay, sure. I'm just like, the way we're protecting Nymphia, I mean, like she's a Montessori school child in San Francisco. She is protected from the real world in a way that I can't think of another drag queen that's been this protected.
I mean, like Bianca Del Rio, like never lip syncing.
Yes.
One. I'm like, have
but Bianca,
they seen-
I would argue, wanted, like Bianca had a winner's attitude, whereas like Nymphia, they're almost convincing her she can win. It's like, you can win. She's like, I don't know. I'm stupid. They're like, no, you could win.
I'm like, do they have like advanced footage? I mean, they probably do, of seeing her lip sync. Like, oh no, she's bad. We can't let her. Like,
maybe.
It seems like, because I could imagine her being slay, or like she's doing like kooky, whatever she finds funny is like so strange, like that she might
just
like pretending to like fart on the stage. Like,
that's that's true. She could be Kenya Michaelsing around the stage, just farting as Beyonce. We don't know. We don't know.
Yeah, so, but I'm glad they decided Dawn or Q. It is Dawn this time, but that Nymphia was not going to be in the bottom. I wouldn't have wanted to see her go home, because anyone up against Morphine was going to go home.
I know. So, I mean, anything else to say about this absolute flawless victory, fatality, murder, just assault, just the Ripper style evisceration, you know, like the annihilation, like the medical term for annihilation. She was medically annihilated.
I was like almost having trouble enjoying it. Like, I'm sure I'll go watch it again after with a bunch of gay men and like be like, yeah, absolutely. But in the moment it was like, oh no, you're stop. But some people are like, oh, it was so unfair to shoot that song. How could she win? I'm like, but what song would Dawn beat Morphine with? Like the soundtrack to like Legend of Zelda. Like, I can't imagine a song where Morphine wouldn't crush her.
Oh my God. You just slayed me with that. That is so funny. If she was just triforcing about the stage, just being like, da, 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 da. Wait, nope, that's Indiana Jones.
And I said this before, yeah, Dawn, you had to rip off the chains over your face immediately. It's a lip sync, darling.
Yeah, she should have ripped it off.
It was a hard garment to move in, but yeah, she had no chance from the beginning. It would have been funny if she had just like waved and walked off. Like,
that would have been fierce. If she Ginny Lemoned off the stage, mm-hmm. I would have accepted that. Body Oddy Oddy Oddy, or if did performed it as a cadaver, I am a body. Like, I don't know. But man, I mean, we like Morphine won when she gave us the stuck her tongue out at the beginning. It's like, oh, she just won.
Yeah. I feel like she was doing something like the actual choreo too.
Yeah. Yeah. I think so. Wow.
And great callback to see her split, and we had to worry about whether she would shit on the stage, like she said in that story.
I didn't even think about that. Genius point. Yeah. Genius. Well, Dawn, who, you know, Dawn was an interesting queen because, again, I think she's actually fascinating and talented and weird. She didn't quite have her quote-unquote moment on this season.
It was weird because I always liked her. Very interesting queen, but very clear she wasn't going to win. So it was just like, okay, I guess it's the time for her to go out. It was kind of in like the Crystal Method vein of like, are you a drag queen? Or are you like a frightening thing from a children's nightmare?
Like, yeah.
But I like, yeah. Looks that I hadn't seen before, a clear point of view, a clear vision of what she thinks drag is. So like,
are you a drag queen or are you a Shel Silverstein drawing brought to life? We don't know. The jury's still out.
Shel Silverstein's Drag Race. I would watch.
I know. That'd be pretty fierce. This was Dawn. I think I want to, I know she'll do amazing things in the future. And I liked her a lot. But yeah, I never quite had the moment where she busted through, but she will continue to slay and do interesting, weird things. And I would like to see her on another Drag Race one day.
Yeah. I feel like it's also like you go on a show to get your brand out there, and we know who she is. If I'm going to her performance, I know I'm going to be like, get something altogether ooky. Like, so.
Spooky, kooky, ooky.
Yeah.
Oh, Chris, where can we follow you and find you in the world? And what do you want to plug and promote in your life?
I mean, I guess just still social media. I'm shackled to it on Twitter and Instagram. I'm the incredibly hard to spell C Schleich's Run.
It's C Schleich's Run.
It is my AOL Instant Messenger name from seventh grade. A funny joke on C Spot Run. But just search Chris Schleicher, S-C-H-L-E-I-C-H-E-R, and I think I'm still the biggest one.
Yeah, and if you're like me, you spelled the last name correctly, but the first name wrong.
Yeah, how did you mess up Christopher?
This will make me sound less stupid than I made myself sound. I just sent the email to Chris Schleicher.
Okay.
But that's not your email. It's different than that. I don't want to say your whole email on the podcast.
Full mistake of like I chose a horrible screen name and then locked in all of my social media on that. I have an incredibly long email address that I have to like write out by hand all the time on forms, and like it goes over the edge. So.
It's long. It is long.
Yeah.
Damn. I feel you. So, I feel your
pain. One of my bad decisions, like watching like Drag Race Belgium. I keep locking myself into bad things.
I know. My God. God bless you for being a true follower of the Drag Race Church. Well, if you like Dragger Podcasts, you can give us 5 stars on the Dragger Podcast on Apple Podcasts. Like this one from Tango R3D, which is 5 stars. Kudos for spilling. Mama, kudos for that, for spilling.
I'm so
what
glad
a cultural
that
reset.
Meme.
I was so tired
of the meme. I was loving it. I was so tired. And then the Kate Middleton video dropped and someone just said, Mama, like kudos for saying
kudos
that.
Thanks for spilling.
That is the button on it. We finished it.
Who'd have thought that Plain Jane would have created the most iconic meme from the season? Yeah. I didn't. I did not.
No.
But now it is Drag Race canon in a way that isn't produced. And that is fierce.
I think that's why we liked it, because it wasn't produced. It wasn't like someone's like trying to give a line. She was just like...
Yeah, just unaffected by human emotions.
In that way that like drag language has gotten into all our brains, like someone will be like, oh, I'm pregnant. And I'm like, slay.
I do that. Yeah, I mean, we're all so traumatized as queer people that I do find myself saying that where someone's like, well, yeah, my dad passed when I was 9. And I don't want to, I feel uncomfortable being like, oh my God. So sometimes I will, to try to make them feel normal, go, work, like, and that's teases. Insane. Yeah. It's trauma. Well, till next time, my dears, let the music play.
Was a HeadGum original.